Because this morning we're going to be, you now have a handout. It's a song or some prayers that Srila Prabhupada wrote. I'll give a little history behind it. But because of that, our usual Hare Krishna ritual of singing Jaya Radha Madhava, we're going to skip it. So like we did the first evening. Jaya Radha Madhava, everybody. Haribol. There are some persons with us this morning that have not been with us thus far. So I'm going to do a little background. This is the slide that shows at the beginning of each of my presentations. It's the theme for this winter retreat. And if the lights can go down, that would be great. Shravan, lights? Great, thank you. Following the footsteps is the theme. So the footsteps of great acharyas and footsteps of those offering prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam, both of which lead to Krishna, connecting with Krishna. So we began Friday evening with exalted personalities in our disciplic line, great acharyas. Some of you are new, so you don't know who they are. They're pictured on our altar on the far right at the lower level, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. They're direct in the line of disciplic succession from Lord Chaitanya, who is on our left or the altar's right, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who gave the world the Yuga Dharma, the primary means of achieving spiritual perfection through the congregational chanting of the holy name. For this age, that's what's prescribed. In different ages, meditation, offering of yajna, deity worship, and in this age, the congregational chanting of the holy name, Nama Sankirtan, just as we were doing before. So that is what Lord Chaitanya came to give along with the teachings of Krishna. So we heard about those who received that message from him and were empowered by him to understand it and to express it in written form. And so they did. So we honored Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. And the next in the line of disciplic succession, Jiva Goswami. And then next in line of disciplic succession, Narottam Das Thakur. We heard about them and from them about connecting with Krishna. That was Friday evening. And then yesterday morning, we heard about Lord Chaitanya and prayers in glorification of Lord Chaitanya who came to give love for Krishna. We heard a number of those from different sources. And then yesterday evening, we heard about some additional associates, eternal associates of Krishna, who came to assist Lord Chaitanya in his pastimes. We heard about Vasudeva Dutta, not so popularly known in this world, like Jesus Christ is popularly known in this world by method of propagating who he was and what his teachings were. But we heard Vasudeva Dutta not only wanted to receive the sins of people of this world so they could be released from suffering. Vasudeva Dutta prayed that all living beings within the universe should be delivered from their distress caused by their sinful activities and the reactions to those sinful activities. He wanted them to be delivered, and if necessary, he would accept the sinful reactions upon himself and live in the universe for countless numbers of lifetimes simply so that they could be delivered. This was his compassion. Pretty enormous. And he was compared by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Prahlad Maharaj. Most of you know who is Prahlad Maharaj. And similarly, we heard about Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he was the primary acharya or teacher in the way of chanting of the holy name. Namacharya, Haridas Thakur. And he had enormous desire to see living entities relieved from their suffering, and the song or the verses that we heard and sang together yesterday were focused on remembrance, by constant remembrance of the personality of Godhead. Great souls were always protected, they achieved perfection. And he was speaking of himself in a humble mood. I'm unable to remember, like we might feel about ourselves. He was fixed, but he was speaking of himself in a humble way, like I can't remember. Then he offered a wonderful prayer to help him remember to receive the mercy of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya by taking the remnants of the prasad that they had honored, and that let that be his foodstuffs. That was his, what we heard yesterday. So this morning, we're going to focus on our founder, Acharya, for those of you that are new and not familiar. Here's our founder, Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, who, on the order of his spiritual master, which was in the line of disciplic succession, previous acharyas wanted that the same benediction that Lord Chaitanya came to give to the world went around the world. Previously it was centered in India because that's where Lord Chaitanya advented, and it had been revived after centuries by great acharyas. And those great acharyas wanted it to go all over the world, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go all over the world. And so our founder acharya, Srila Prabhupada, was given that assignment by his spiritual master. And he prepared himself, as a great personality will do. They don't just run out the door. He was preparing himself by providing Srimad Bhagavatam in its full translation form. Not only the Sanskrit translated into English, but the purports or the commentaries of previous acharyas assimilated for the contemporary audience, the world. In the world, previous acharyas were commonly, their audience was people that already knew something or thought they knew something, and they just needed some course correction. Prabhupada's audience was the world, and that was people that don't know nothing about nothing. And they may think they know something about everything. That's like New York. New Yorkers think they know something about everything. I learned that. Just ask them. They can tell you something about everything. But they really don't know nothing about nothing. Transcendental means what's beyond the temporary. And even what's within the realm of the temporary, it's imperfect. What to speak of what's beyond the temporary. So Prabhupada was preparing, as you see here, the Bhaktivedanta purports for Srimad Bhagavatam, and the painting is in his room at the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan, where he had accepted the order of sannyas and was preparing himself to fulfill the instruction of his spiritual master. Just a little embellishment from what we discussed Friday evening. Those who are with us, you saw this image. He felt himself unqualified. He was most qualified, but he felt himself unqualified, which is one of the symptoms of one who's qualified, is they're not proud. They're not have an inflated sense of their worth. They're not low self-esteem. They're just recognizing, I need tons of mercy. But he was feeling, I'm not qualified. So this image shows Rupa Goswami, who we heard about on Friday evening, we just mentioned this morning. Rupa Goswami received the fullness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Fullness means he was taught everything. He was given the empowerment to understand all truths of transcendence, that which is beyond the temporary. Specifically in the matter of rasa, that is, the mellows of loving exchange with the source of everything, Krishna. And he was empowered to write, to expand all those teachings in beautiful language, very deep and profound teachings. It's described, we discussed this. Lord Chaitanya confirmed that he had passed that on to him. So, Prabhupada, as this image shows, he was writing the Bhaktivedanta purports feeling quite incapable, mission impossible. And so, he described to his followers one time, when they were visiting the Radha Damodar temple, that Rupa Goswami appeared to him and spoke, Maharaj, don't worry about anything. Go ahead and travel to the west and preach. Just preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the chanting of Hare Krishna, you'll be successful. I guarantee, because I'll be right with you all the time. So he wasn't alone. He's in good company. On one side is Rupa Goswami and the other side was his spiritual master. He was never alone. With the order of his spiritual master and the confirmation of Rupa Goswami to go forward. We saw this slide also on Friday evening. Same image on the upper left. On the right, that's the six Goswamis, these intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we heard on Friday evening this text at the bottom. I'm not going to read it. But one of the contemporaries of Srila Prabhupada was interviewed, and this is the transcription of the interview, that he, this scholar who was in charge of the Vrindavan Research Institute, the Vrindavan Research Institute is a library and a training center where it focuses on Jiva Goswami. And Prabhupada is residing at the temple where Jiva Goswami lived and worshipped. So this scholar would come to visit Prabhupada periodically, and one time Prabhupada told him that he was visited yesterday evening by three persons. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Jiva Goswami. And they were encouraging him to go forward with his mission, the Mission Impossible. And the scholar wanted more information, but Prabhupada wouldn't give more information. So there's two confirmations of this special, special mercy. Now this is when Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan. From Vrindavan, a little extra history, is he wanted to go to the West. He was preparing, feeling not qualified, Mission Impossible, getting encouragement, still feeling not qualified. He got passage on a cargo ship. Very interesting. After World War II, nations of the world are restricting visas to go visit their country because of, who knows what's coming. But then when there was a lift on that ban and tourist visas were going to be issued to visit America, Prabhupada had a previous business associate from his householder days, and that business associate had a son who lived in America. So his son, at his father's request, sent Prabhupada an invitation letter. Please come visit. So he got a tourist visa based on that letter. Mr. Agarwal, in a remote place you never heard of, Butler, Pennsylvania. So he got a visa, and then he got a passage on a cargo ship. So in this same book, Our Srila Prabhupada, A Friend to All, there's another little story where Prabhupada, because he was going to depart, the ship was going to depart from Calcutta, he went to the place of Advaita Acharya in Shantipur, and all day long he was chanting and praying and crying, feeling not capable. So the pujari saw him. He didn't know who he was, dressed in saffron, and said, "What are you crying about?" He said, "My spiritual master has given me Mission Impossible, and I don't feel qualified." This was his mood. "So I've come here to pray for the mercy of Advaita Acharya and Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I may somehow become successful." This is this descending mercy. It's an essential element. You'll hear it in the song that we're about to sing together. Essential element is feeling the necessity for descending mercy. On the other hand, there's prayasa, or effort. We make effort to qualify ourselves, prepare ourselves, endeavor. But endeavor alone, determination alone, strength alone, insufficient. That's needed, and mercy is also needed. So when Srila Prabhupada got on the boat, and then he reached the Boston Harbor, he wrote this very famous song, which we're going to sing together. And we need a little microphone to go with the speaker box. Now this wasn't just a one-off song. I heard at least two lectures where Srila Prabhupada word for word was repeating the words of the song and describing the mood of the song. In other words, it was deep inside him. It wasn't just a nice song. And so let's hear together, sing together. It's a nice recording. Hopefully it's going to work properly. You have the song, you can sing along, or you can just look at the screen.
Border of कृपा कर ले कृष्ण यदा मेरा प्रति बर कृपा कर ले कृष्ण यदा मेरा प्रति किला गया निलहता कर मेरे गति किला गया निलहता कर मेरे गति কিছু কাজ তব এনুমানে আছে কিছু কাজ তব এনুমানে নহে তেন নিবে এই উগ্রসানে নহে তেন নিবে এই উগ্রসানে রজস্তম গুণেরা শোভাইয়া চন রজস্তম গুণেরা শোভাইয়া চন পাশুতে গুচি নহে সে প্রশ্ন পাশুতে গুচি নহে সে প্রশ্ন তবে যদি তব কৃপা হয়া হয় দুঃখী তবে যদি তব কৃপা হয়া দুঃখী সকল সম্ভব হয় তুমি কেউ দুঃখী সকল সম্ভব হয় তুমি সে কুখী ভুল চালে তারা বুঝে সে রাজাভাবে ভুল চালে তারা বুঝে সে রাজা এত কৃপা বর প্রভু করিনি তাবসা এত কৃপা বর প্রভু করিনি তাবসা সব হই মায়াব তোমার ইচ্ছা সব হয় মায়াবগ্র তোমার ইচ্ছা না মায়ার ভার তোমার ইচ্ছাই না মায়ার ভার যদি তাদে দুধা তবে আহ যদি তাদে দুধা বুঝিবে নিশ্চয় তোমার কথা সে তোমার বুঝিবে নিশ্চয় তবে কথা সে ভাগবতের কথা সে তবয়বতা ভাগবতের কথা সে তবয়বতা দীর হইয়া শুনে যদি গানে বা ধীরা হইয়া শুনে যদি কানে বা রজস্তম হতে তবে পাইবে নিশা রজতম হতে তবে পাইবে নিশা হৃদয়ের বাজ বুঝিবে হৃদয়ের বাজ বুঝিবে কথা বড় সে চাহি কি করে বুঝাব কথা বড় সে চাহি ক্ষুদ্রায়ানি কি নাহি না কোন শক্তি নাহি ক্ষুদ্রায়ানি কি নাহি না কোন শক্তি নাহি প্রভু কথা বলিবারে অতচয়ন চ প্রভু কথা বলিবারে যে তোমারি চা প্রভু করবে ভারে যে তোমারি চা প্রভু করবে ভারে জগুরু প্রচন্ন সে আমার অকিল জগুরু প্রচন্ন সে আমার অলঙ্কৃত পরিবার গমত তথা অলঙ্কৃত পরিবার গমত তথা হলে মন কথা সুধা হবে তব কৃপা হলে মন কথা সুধা হবে শুনিয়া সবার সোকা ঢুকাতে ঘুষিবে শুনিয়া সবার সোকা ঢুকাতে ঘুষিবে যদি প্রভু আমার না যাবে নাচা নাচা প্রভু নাচা সে মতে কাশের পুতলি যথা নাচা সে মতে কাশের পুতলি যথা নাচা সে মতে নামে কুদর ভক্তি নাই বেদনার নামে কুদর ভক্তি বেদান্ত নামে বেদনা ধর ভক্তি
powerful song. Most of us, very few of us, speak Bengali. Those that speak Bengali, I'm sure it was a different experience than those of us that don't speak Bengali. But the message is very powerful. Just to review a few things, this, again, this mood of humility, repeating several times, I'm not qualified, repeating several times, appealing for mercy, Krishna's mercy. He abundantly was receiving Krishna's mercy. So it wasn't like wiping his hands saying, well, that's it, I got mercy, so let's go. Continuously feeling dependent and calling for mercy and calling for mercy while endeavoring going forward. As we heard yesterday, Haridas saying, I don't have the power of remembrance. Remembrance, where does remembrance come from? Remembrance is something we have forgotten, then we can remember it. And our relationship with Krishna is something we have forgotten. So how do we remember that which we have forgotten? Well, Maya covers what we have forgotten. Instead, we're accepting Maya to be reality instead of reality to be reality. And we're engrossed in illusion instead of reality. So how do we remember reality? So he's two things. Great faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he says in the final line, great faith in the holy name. So these two things, his right arm and his left arm, that was his method. The holy name and the Srimad Bhagavatam. Having faith in their qualification, because the holy name is Krishna and the Bhagavatam is Krishna. And by presenting that message of Srimad Bhagavatam and the chanting of the holy name, Mission Impossible becomes possible, provided descending mercy, which is made possible when one becomes pure, so he's already pure, but appealing to become pure by the Lord's mercy. Very powerful appeal. Now, let's say it this way. Close your eyes and imagine you're a world acharya. And you've just passed through an ocean voyage with two heart attacks and you somehow survived and you're at the shore of the Boston Harbor looking out and saying, Mission Impossible. No. What would you say? What would you feel? What would be your mood? This is that personality, empowered by Krishna, because he was eager for that empowerment to make the mission that had been given to him by his spiritual master, as we heard, given by Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami and through disciplic succession on to him. And he's passing that on to us. Same opportunity. Exactly the same opportunity, because it's the same mission. And how do we receive that mission? He's teaching us how to receive that mission in this song. We don't have to get on a cargo ship and cross the Atlantic Ocean at 70 years of age. Gosh. And, you know, the story is fantastic. You know, when Prabhupada said, when he walked down from the ship, they called it a gangplank, when he walked down and got to the land from that ocean voyage, he said, I didn't know whether to turn left or right. He didn't have somebody receiving him. He didn't have any money. He had rupees, 14 rupees, which you can't spend in America anyways. No one to, like, you know, send him a text message and pick me up and take me to where I'm going. Nothing. Elderly gentleman landing in New York City. He made his way from the dock to Port Authority, got on a bus. Anyone that's been to Port Authority knows it's a zoo. And got on a bus to Butler, Pennsylvania to meet Mr. Agarwal and his wife, Sally, and their little boy, Bridge, with people he... So anyway, with a mission, impossible. What courage, what confidence, what boldness, what empowerment, whatever. It's amazing. So you have the words. Let's take a look at text 6, 7, and 8. Text 6, Prabhupada is writing the same thing that Devahuti says to Lord Kapila in her prayers to Lord Kapila. That's her son. In this case, his Prabhupada is not, you know, speaking to his son. It's the personality of Godhead. But Devahuti says the same thing. Maya has covered me. But it's your Maya, so can you remove it, please? So it's Krishna. This illusory energy has covered the living entities from understanding your message. So can you please remove it if you want? You're all powerful. You're mystic. You can do anything you want. Please remove it. But then he's going to point to the method of how it's removed. Text 7, I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. So this is an important element in the process of surrender or sharanagati. That is, someone who is dear to Krishna, on your behalf, they pray to Krishna for your well-being. Now, it really helps if it's a pure devotee who's praying on your behalf. We're not pure devotees, most of us. Maybe there's some here. So, but we still, we offer prayers to Krishna on behalf of someone. It's powerful. There's power in prayer. It's not imaginary. Krishna's mercy is entrusted to his devotee, and his devotee can deliver Krishna's mercy. But the devotee doesn't think, hey, I'm the deliverer of Krishna's mercy. They appeal to Krishna, please give your mercy to this soul. And in Prabhupada's case, it wasn't just one. It's everyone. We're going to hear as we go further. That was his hankering. Like Prahlad, we heard yesterday evening, Prahlad wanted all living entities, or Vasudev Datta, all living entities in the universe. Here's a little Prabhupada story I like. I heard this from Bandri Narayan Swami, like six times at least. Bandri Narayan Swami became a devotee in Michigan. There are some devotees here from Michigan. And he then became the president of a preaching center in Ann Arbor, just like we have here from Ypsilanti, the charge of a center over there in Ypsilanti, same as Ann Arbor. It's just, you know, the home of University of Michigan. So Prabhupada was visiting in Detroit, so Bandri Narayan Swami had the privilege of riding in the car when Prabhupada would go for his morning walk. And it was standard everywhere he went. At 6 o'clock in the morning, he'd get in the car, go somewhere to a park, walk briskly, have morning conversation, come back and then come to the temple at 7 o'clock, greet the deities, and have Guru Puja just like we do. So every morning on the way back, they followed the same, went to the same park, and Prabhupada looked out the window and remarked, the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said it every morning. So one day, a devotee asked Prabhupada, what are you seeing, Prabhupada? The mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he pointed to a sign, a big billboard or something like that, Sherwin Williams sign. Those of you that know, that's a paint company. And their logo is the earth and a bucket of red paint turned halfway on its side, and then the paint coming, flowing from the paint can onto the earth, flowing over the earth, cover the earth. That's the, cover the earth. The mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he was in Detroit, he was thinking of the world. And he traveled around the world to be an emissary of the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was imparted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami and then in disciplic succession onto him. The mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, cover the world. That was his, and it wasn't notional. It was deep within him. That's what he wanted. He had received and he was giving. Very profound. And then the final is this text 8. We're going to expand on text 8. But this mission impossible, he saw would become possible through the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's go back. Very well-known history for those that are members of ISKCON. The first time Srila Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta gave him an instruction. They had never seen each other before, and he gave him an instruction. You're an English-speaking young man. Take the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and deliver it to the English-speaking parts of the world. They had never met before. But Prabhupada, from his childhood, was Vaishnav. His father was a great devotee of Krishna. Radha, Govinda, deities in their home. And the sadhus that came to their home, his father appealed to the sadhus, please bless my son. One day he be become a great devotee of Radha. Radha Rani. And so he did. The blessings of his father. And so when Bhaktisiddhanta met him, that was already inside him, a devotee of Radha Krishna. Take the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the English-speaking parts of the world, and this will fulfill the mission. So that's the world, at least the English-speaking parts of the world. And then the final instruction was the same thing, and this was this mission impossible. He was feeling, how can I do this? I'm this little entity, and how can I, mission impossible? So it's in the song, it's in his life. Now he spoke very boldly, but inside was this, I'm depending completely upon the mission, the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna, while speaking boldly. Mercy and effort. And he, after arriving, he eventually made his way to New York, and then from New York he traveled around the world with that very same looking out at the world, feeling, how can I be an instrument for the message and the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And in his heart of hearts, he was feeling, when I think of how everyone in the world is suffering, it makes me cry. I actually cry. That's the heart of our founder Acharya. And so he gave his life, he gave his breath, he gave his everything to fulfill the mission. so that people would not have to suffer. Same as Prahlad, we heard yesterday evening. Same as Prahlad. Now we're going to go to this text 8. Here's the Bengali and the translation again. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation, and if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. See, following this text, text number 8, Srila Prabhupada then, in his own handwriting, referred to several verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, which we're going to review and then we'll finish. Starting with text 16 from Canto 1, Chapter 2. Let us say the verse together. Shushushroshadadhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Siyan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirta Nishevanat. Before we go to the translation, a couple of very important words in this is Vyasadeva's writing, or spoken by Suta Goswami, written by Vyas. Shraddhanasya. Now we know what Shraddha. Shraddha means with faith. Shraddha. And Prabhupada is in the word for word Shraddhanasya with great care and attention. So the solution to this, they'll never understand. How is it possible they'll understand? So he's giving the remedy. It's right in the Bhagavatam, which he has faith in. He's carrying it with him on the cargo ship and distributing his Srimad Bhagavatam in its printed form and its spoken form, and expanding in by that method so people can understand the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So with great care and attention, and this other phrase here, Punya Tirtha. Punya, piety. Tirtha is a term that refers to persons. Tirtha is a place, but a person who embody the teachings of transcendence, they're Punya Tirtha. They are also perambulatory tirthas, moving tirthas. And Mahatsevam is rendering service to such persons. So now let's read the translation. O twice-born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, Punya Tirtha, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity. Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. One gains affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva. Now interesting, the immediate previous verse, this is text 16, 15, speaks the same message as Haridas spoke. By constant remembrance of the personality of Godhead, one's existence in material affairs is terminated. Chidyante, you hit the eject button and you're no longer connected to affinity for matter, even you're in the world of matter, by remembrance. So how does that remembrance, that which you have forgotten, how is it awakened? By this is the method which he puts in his words, his prayers, his song to Krishna. Remembrance is awakened starting with service to the Mahats, the great souls who are Punya Tirthas, and then Vasudeva Katha Ruchi, a taste for hearing. And then next, Shrinvatasa Katha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyantakstoya Bhadrani Vidhunoti Suritsatam. This word Abhadrani appears in this text 17 and 18, so that's important. repetition tells us something. So, Abhadra, it's right in his song as well, Abhadra. There's Bhadra, there's Subhadra, and there's Abhadra. Bhadra means auspicious. Abhadra means inauspicious. So all that is inauspicious within the heart. Hridya, Antha, Stha, Hibhadrani. All that was inauspicious within the heart is nullified. How? Shinvata Sakata Krishna. By hearing Krishna Katha with that faith and with care and attention, all that is inauspicious within the heart is removed. Punya Shravana Kirtana. A detail. This punya has different meanings. There's three primary different meanings. Punya is commonly taken as material punya. You do good work, you get good result, you prosper in this life, and after this life you go to heaven. That's material punya. That's one kind. But it's not what's spoken of here. There's another kind, a second, and that is that which leads to disconnect with the temporary. That's impersonal efforts of punya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains it's like reading Vedanta Sutra and chanting Om where you want to become one with Brahman. That's another kind of punya. But this is the third kind of punya. It's transcendental punya that connects you with Krishna. So by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in that way and rendering service to the Mahats, punya, that kind, shravana, kirtana. This is the Bhagavat method. Shravanam kirtanam. Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu smaranam. That's the remembrance of what we've forgotten. That was text 15. How is that remembrance awakened? This is how the remembrance is awakened. And then that which is inauspicious in the heart is removed. Here's the translation. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages. Remember, Vasudeva Katha Ruchi, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So that's the third verse. Here comes verse number 4 in this series. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. So this is describing the progressive stage. Those are familiar with the stages of bhakti. There's the stage called nishtha. Nishtha means steady. So continuing, and it goes beyond nishtha, but it's describing the nishtha where nashta prayeshu. Prayeshu means almost to nil. Nashta praya, almost to nil. It's a stage. Nashta prayeshu, same word, abhadra. Those inauspicious things at the intermediate stage, that's what we're aspiring for, to become steady in our bhakti. It's made possible by what was described earlier. And nityam literally means eternal, in a very softer language is regularly, like every day. We are encouraged to every day chant and hear Shravanam Kirtanam. Every day. Not, when the Spirit moves me. That's nice. when the Spirit moves you, and even when the Spirit doesn't move you, every day, because that's abhyasa, that's a practice, because it's good for you, it's good for us, it's motive goodness as we do things because it's good for us. We brush our teeth every day because it's good. I know a little boy, he didn't like to brush his teeth. I saw him a little while ago. I asked him, do you brush your teeth every day now? He said, yeah. But he didn't like to brush his teeth every day. But now he's brushing, because it's good for him. Oral hygiene, you know, you brush your teeth. So we do some things because it's good for us. Whether we like them or don't like them, it's good for us. That's the mode of goodness. Because we know it's good for us, we do it every day. And it just becomes part of your life. You don't go without brushing your teeth. Every day you brush your teeth. So, every day, hearing and chanting. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So in addition to the book Bhagavat, there's the person. The one who gives the message of Bhagavat. Sevaya, render service. It's repeating something, the Mahat Seva message from earlier. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. This knowledge of Krishna, Bhaktir Bhavati. I like the word Bhavati. It reminds me of the French word. I studied French in high school. Voila. Voila means Bhavati. There it is. Voila. It's already there and then it's voila. It just awakens. Just like in yajnas. Bhavati. It just happens because you're following the procedure. Bhavati. Voila. I read something, just a little sharing, recently by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describing the power of sound. Very interesting explanation. He said the way to understand transcendence is not by speculation or by pious fruit of activities. They won't reach transcendence. But there is a method, and that's by sound. And he gives several examples. One of them, I'll explain. Suryakanta gem. Suryakanta gem is not fiction. They're gems that store some of the light of the sun, so they're self-luminous. Like these are crystal. And crystal, when the light is on, it diffuses the light softly and very beautifully and elegantly, and it's nice, and it's expensive. Expensive to clean it too. So, but that's crystal that diffuses light. But there's some gems, Surya Kanta, it stores some portion of the light of the sun and it's self-luminous. You put it in a dark room, the room lights up. Because it stores a portion, small portion, of the light of the sun. So Vishwanath says, proof that the Suryakanta gem stores the light of the sun is you put it in the presence of the sun and it explodes. Similarly, there's other examples, but similarly, sound vibration explodes. It awakens knowledge. Vedic sound vibration has potency to awaken knowledge, and proof is, voila, bhavati. It just becomes manifest within the heart. Not by the power of speculation or fruit of activity or austerity or any other nice thing. Recommended thing to help you become more situated in goodness. Those are all nice things. They're good. But they're not transcendental. But sound, descending sound vibration has that potency. And the Bhagavatam is such a potency, as we heard Prabhupada's song. It's not different than Krishna. The Vedas say the Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Krishna. After Krishna departs, he becomes present through the Srimad Bhagavatam. He's personally accessible to us through sound. How do we know? Read it. like the Suryakanta gem, put it in the presence of the sun, realization. Now, it may happen gradually, but it happens. Bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. Causelessly, knowledge awakens. Causelessly, knowledge awakens just by hearing in the mode of service to the Mahats and the message of the Bhagavatam. This is Prabhupada describing, it's the Bhagavatam describing, but in his song, how is this mission impossible going to be possible? How are people going to understand? He has faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the holy name. So now we'll move on. Oh, by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering a service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome in the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service to the personality of Godhead who is praised with transcendental songs is established in as an irrevocable fact. That's this nishta or nishta stage. Just two more. Chant together. Tada rajastamo bhava kamalo bhadayaschaye cheta etai anavidham stittam satye prasidati. We heard in Prabhupada's prayer how these people that are infused with ignorance and passion are going to understand transcendence. Well, this is the method to remove rajas and tamas. And it leaves at least sattva, and then transcendence through sattva, transcendence. So when we hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, we may not understand it right away. Why? We're covered by rajas and tamas. Rajas and tamas. Rajas and tamas. We can't understand it. Keep reading. Once Prabhupada explained when he published Nectar of Devotion, nice little story. In the morning, Srimad Bhagavatam class. In the evening, Bhagavad Gita class. And when he published, this was 1970, summer of 1970, Nectar Devotion was available. And so we had a third class every day after lunch. Or after or before lunch? Probably before lunch. And it says things that we wouldn't understand. So those who wrote to Prabhupada asked, what do you do if you don't understand? So you just read it again. And after reading again, you don't understand, read it again. And if you still don't understand, read it again, and eventually you'll understand. That's this verse. Translation. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. Let's chant the next one. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Mukta sangasya jayate. This is interesting translation. Sangasya. Sangam, we know the meaning. Association. But association with what? Material association. Mukta sangasya. So this lower modes of nature, one becomes freed from that association. How do you do that? Because look around you. This is what Devahuti says to Lord Kapila. Is it really possible? Look in any direction. Up, down, sideways, front, back, above you, below you, anywhere there's material energy. How do you get free from material energy? She says, I get, by knowledge you can go up. But for so long we've been involved in the modes of nature and you get pulled back down again. We all experience it. It just keeps like a bungee cord, keeps going back. Is it really possible Mukta Sangasya Jayate. Completely free. Well, you have to become connected to transcendence, and then it's possible. And otherwise, it's not possible. And how do you get connected to transcendence? That's this method. He has full faith. And Mission Impossible becomes possible through the descending mercy of Srimad Bhagavatam and the Holy Name, and somehow or another. Just carry forward with faith. So, thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Very important. Some of you know this other verse. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Gyanam Cha Yad Ahaitukam. By devotional service to Krishna done in this way that's being described, causelessly, Ahaituki, causelessly detachment and knowledge, and not just like information kind of knowledge, but this kind of knowledge. Feeling connected to the personality of Godhead, the forgotten relationship with Krishna becoming awakened, the details of Krishna, not just information kind, but feeling oneself connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the bhakti process, awakened in this way, becomes possible. And now, the final verse, and we're done. Vidyante hridaya grantis, chidyante sarva sankshaya, kshiyante chastya karmani, drishta evat manishude. So, kshiyante, nice word. Terminated is probably like, you know, they have a movie like this, right? The Terminator. Kshiyante. Terminated, like finished. Terminator. Finished. Not like da 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 da. Not that. Terminated. Chiyante. What's being terminated? Sarva karmani. No more fruitive activity. What's left? If there's no more fruitive, what do you do? So we're attached to fruitive activity because we don't have that. We have nothing. And that's our means to become happy, is fruitive activity gets us stuff. The fruits of our activity, and then we can enjoy the fruits of our activity. You don't have that. You're nowhere. That's impersonalism. But the personalism says you're everywhere. You're with Krishna. And to be with Krishna, when you get that connection with Krishna, Chiyante chasya karmani, gone. And the hridaya grantis. Grantis means knot. And the knot, guess what the knot is? False ego. Even before the living entity gets a body, false ego appears. And as soon as the living entity is injected into the pradhan, the undifferentiated totality of material existence, false ego. And then the false ego clings to the living entity as the first thing and as the last thing. That's the knot. Sometimes it's the knot of the internet, that's how Prabhupada, the internet that keeps us connected to Maya, our dear friend, false ego. What will we do without our false ego? Gosh, I don't have any friend anymore. It's not a friend. Chiyante, finished. Hridaya grantis, bhijyante. Hridaya grantis chidyante sarva sankshaya. Samshaya means doubt. Sarva Sangshaya, without any doubt. Prabhupada is translated as misgivings. You know, like hesitation. No hesitation. In this mature stage, there's no hesitation anymore. Translation. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated. When one sees the self as master. Atma, Ishware, the self as master. Now, self can be the capital S because the true self is not correctly understood without the capital S self, the connection with the super soul or the supreme lord. That's the true self, not just aham brahmasmi. But we're connected to the para brahman. That's the true self. And the true self is master. The self connected to the supreme self. That's the master, and I follow the master. So, the last slide here. There's the key. And there's the lock. And just, keys have a purpose. You put the key in the lock and you turn it and it opens the lock. So that to open the heart, this is what our founder Acharya is describing in this wonderful song. How to do Mission Impossible. So that's him as the Acharya praying to Krishna on our behalf. He's praying to Krishna on our behalf and giving us the key to unlock the heart. I love this photograph. Someone gave me this photograph when I was a bhakta, and I kept it. And here's a reproduction of that nice image. In a very prayerful mood, praying to Krishna for the empowerment to deliver all living entities in the world, including our little selves. And then we can be instruments to assist our founder, Acharya. Lights? I'm going to get one little more Prabhupada story. Turn the light on. 1972, a few years ago, summer in New York, Prabhupada visiting, seated on the Vyasasan, giving the Bhagavatam class, describing in a trembling voice with emotion, saying, my spiritual master, Narottam Das Thakur. We say this, Oma Jnana Timarandasya Gananjana Sanakaya Chakshodamiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. That's a verse by Narottam Das Thakur, who we were honoring Friday evening. It's the first verse of Prem Bhakti Chandrika. Narottam Das Thakur. Now Prabhupada was describing that verse in a personal way. He said, my spiritual master found me in a dark place. And his voice trembling. He forced me to open my eyes. He rescued me. And then he instructed me, now that I have made your life fortunate, you in turn go forward and make others' lives fortunate. And so I have come to your country. And everyone went, Jai Prabhupada. And so I have come to your country and I have found you. And with that mercy of my founder, my spiritual master, I have also opened your eyes with the torchlight of knowledge and ask you to please remember Krishna, he who you have forgotten. That is my message to you all. Jai Prabhupada. And then he gave his words of empowerment, saying, and now I am requesting you, go forward, take this remembrance of Krishna and give it to others. This is my charge unto all of you. And the room went bananas, mridangas, and devotees jumping, and Jai Prabhupada. So here we are. And we can, you know, it's enthusiastic message, but it's a real message. And some will take it as a real message and take it into their heart, as Prabhupada took his instruction into his heart and carried it forward. That's our life. And so back to our theme, this very first slide. Connecting with Krishna. So the prayers of Acharyas, so connecting with Krishna through our founder Acharya's prayer to benedict us through this message of Srimad Bhagavatam, the chanting of the holy name, and our instruction to please receive it in the manner that he's given it, so that our lives can become fortunate. No need to struggle. Life is a struggle. No need to struggle. Suffering in this world is absolutely unnecessary. And there's so much suffering in this world. Too much. Dark. Suffering in this world. It's not needed. We're meant for a joyful life, and we just have to receive that joyful life, and it's not just notional, it's real. Okay, so I'm going to end and see if there's some discussion on this topic. Whoops, we have like 8 minutes.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Yesterday when you were speaking about Haridas Thakur's prayers, I was thinking that Haridas Thakur is anyway constantly remembering Krishna. And yet he is seeking, his prayers is, please kindly give me the remembrance. And today it became so clear that he was simply seeking the mercy of Lord Chaitanya for, because without the mercy of the Lord, you know, the full manifestation of that remembrance does not take place. And today's class was really more enlivening because of trying to connect from yesterday's with today's explanation about Srila Prabhupada's prayers as well. Thank you so very, very much. Just wanted to express that.
Just an appreciation.
Yes.
Okay. The intention was to have a flow, a connection between one and the next and the next. And yeah, you can start anywhere and that's just fine too. But there is, by design, some connection. Anyone else? Yes?
Thank you, Maharaj. It was a nice lecture. Just a quick deliberation. I was thinking, please enlighten again. You have already spoken about it. I want to understand, in the shloka number 1.2.18, which you referred, Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu. So why is this said almost completely destroyed?
I explained.
Can you please?
I'll say it again.
Sorry.
It's just a stage. Nishtha is followed by other stages. So the Bhagavatam is outlining a stage. Adaushadha, Sadhusanga, Bhajanakriya, Anarchanabriti, Nishtha. It's describing the Nishtha stage. And then you keep going. Ruchi Asakti Bhava Prema. It's just illuminating a stage, almost, just Nashta Prayeshu, the Nishtha stage. Okay, that's it? Over here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your lecture. I don't pray every day. I pray when I'm in the mood or if I have the power.
Okay.
But if I pray every day, even if I'm not in the mood, does that prayer work? Does that prayer work if I'm not in the mood?
Yes.
I'm just forcing myself?
Yeah. That's, you know, I gave the example of brushing teeth. Let's take another example. Taking a bath. I take a bath when I feel like it. Does it work when I take a bath when I don't feel like it? Yeah. Now, when you're into it, like say, I don't know, maybe you go to the gym and you work out and you get all sweaty, so you like, I really want to take a nice shower. But even when you haven't gone to the gym and gotten all sweaty, you know, to take a bath, it makes the outside clean. Taking a bath makes the outside clean. And the prayer and chanting and hearing makes the inside clean. Now supposing you feel like it, then it has greater effect. Supposing you don't feel like it, you do it in a regulative way because it's good for you. That's mode of goodness. Mode of goodness, this is Kapila Dev teaching Devahuti. Mode of goodness is when you do things for two main reasons. It's good for me. Or it will help purify my existence. So I do it because it's good for me. Or it'll purify my existence. That's good. So there's the answer to your question. Is it going to be effective? It's not the same as if you're in this spontaneous mood of praying in spontaneous mood, but in a regulative manner because it's good for me. That's mode of goodness. It's going to be effective for sure. And so the recommendation for you or anyone that's in that space, strive to connect not just because I'm supposed to do it, is good for me. You know, like, you know, a parent telling a child, don't steal. Okay, well, I won't steal when I feel like not stealing. When I feel like stealing, I'm going to steal. You know, you don't steal because it's not good for you. You observe the property of others because it's good for you. You'd be respectful of others' property. It's good for you. That's mode of goodness, motivation. So even when you're not feeling like it, try to remember, this is good for me, so I do it because it's good for me. It's sadhana or abhyasa. Abhyasa means practice. I'm not feeling, but it's practice. And by practice, 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 it becomes second nature. Not mechanical, but it becomes with the intention that's good for me, then the purification will be stronger. If it's mechanical, then it becomes like, you know, I'm checked out. So check in. It's mode of goodness. Check in. It's good for me. Yes. You have the microphone. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't have a question.
Huh?
I don't have a question.
You don't have a question. Who would like to speak something? Oh, it's 9 o'clock. So, we have one over here, and then.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. I'm just still thinking about it. Kindly forgive me if the question is not clear. Hearing about Vasudeva Datta, Haridas Thakur, Prahlad Maharaj, and now seeing the mode of Srila Prabhupada, it's so much compassion for the other living entities.
Yes.
And they are at this stage. I mean, themselves, you mentioned, Prabhupada is most qualified yet feeling unqualified.
Yeah.
In my stage, there is a little bit qualification given, from the mentors and spiritual master trying to practice, I want to understand at what stage do I start praying for others or trying to do something? Do I have to focus myself and...
It's his question. You're asking his question in another way. You do because, I mean, not to imitate, but following in the footsteps. So our capacity is tiny. And largely we're thinking about me, myself, and I. That, you know, what's good for me? What makes me happy? What makes, you know, those who are connected to me happy? That's mine. I and mine. That's our boundaries. So to go beyond our boundaries, it's a step of purification to think beyond your boundaries. So we have activities like Harinam, book distribution, reaching out and having festivals in the public, and we do those things. And we're still thinking, in, you know, through the lens of how's it good for me? But by doing that, it's purifying. We have experiences that are humbling sometimes, joyful sometimes, but we, you know, it goes beyond our little boundaries of I and mine, or me, myself, and mine. So, little by little. So when is any time, in the very beginning. Srila Prabhupada engaged the new devotees in madhyama activities, although they're kanishta. Just like jump in the pool. You know, let's go on Harinam. Now it didn't, in the very, very, very beginning it didn't, let's go on Harinam. But after some time, it became part of what the devotees, you know, the temple devotees do is go on Harinam. Whether, you know, you're concerned about the welfare of others or not. It's just, it's purifying. It's self-benedictory. You receive that expanded consciousness by taking up those activities even if, you know, you're not ready for it or you're not feeling, I want to go and Harinam. I want to give the message of bhakti to others. Now some people want to give the message of bhakti to others and they haven't really received it. You know, it's inspired by some other mood, like a pride and false ego mood. But it's at any stage. Now we have to be conscious of being, we're representatives of something that's bigger than me. So that's part of the training of how to represent something that's bigger than you.